least it's cordless, hey? Like, when we first started, we used to have a mic with a cord, and you couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. Then we got a cordless mic, and then we got the lapel mic. Anyway, bless the Lord, hey? How are you? Yeah, cool. Just getting myself organized here. We've got all the music going while I do that, so I have a bit of... Hallelujah. Okay, can you hear me all right? Well, bless the Lord. Let's pray and we'll get started on tonight's message. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Lord, I thank you for every person who's come out, Lord, and just made that effort to sow to the Spirit. I pray, Lord, they would reap from your Spirit tonight, just with your presence, with your word, with your fellowship, with believers. Lord, we just thank you for that. I ask, Father, that you would anoint me as the messenger, you would anoint the message, you would anoint the listeners, and it would be something, Lord, that we could apply to our lives in a very meaningful and helpful way. And so, Father, we praise and thank you for that in advance. And Lord, we just go on now and ask you to really move in our hearts, Father. Just move in our hearts. Let it not be just something that just is like water off a duck's back or like our hearts are Teflon coated, but, Father, that you would break through into areas of our lives and bring the change that is needed. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read the first scripture, which is Mark 16, 15 to 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, so he's saying it to us as well as his disciples. He says this in verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." Take note of that. Those who believe. Not those who are whiz-bang Christians. Not those who are just stand in pulpits, not those who have been Christians for 20 years, those who believe. So if you're a believer, that's you. In my name, so not in your name, not in your strength, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Missionaries put that one into practice quite a lot. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Maybe not instantly, but recover doesn't always mean instantly. But what I want to focus on tonight is they will speak with new tongues. I want to minister a message tonight on the importance of praying in tongues. And Dave Robeson, who is an international speaker and he speaks mainly on praying in tongues, he says this, "Satan is in an all-out war to strip us, the church, of the benefits of praying in tongues." I believe that. I believe that is a true statement. And Scripture tells us that tongues is a gift. It's a spiritual gift that God gives us. And towards the end of my dad's life, or actually most of his life, but particularly towards the end of his life, I used to try really hard to buy him interesting gifts for Christmases and birthdays. And Pastor Marianne will tell you, he was so hard to buy for because he just sort of didn't have any hobbies and things like that. And if he wanted something, he'd just go and buy it anyway. But I would buy him gifts and he would always be grateful for the gift. He'd unwrap the gift and then he'd leave it on the dining room table because he lived alone. My mum had died a long time ago. And he'd leave it on the dining room table. And so whenever I'd go and visit him, my gift would be sitting on the dining room table, untouched, unused. And then I'd buy the next gift and it would be next to it. And the next gift would be next to it. Not kidding, am I? And then one time I thought, I've got him this time because he'd keep all his papers on the dining room table as well. And I found a paperweight in the post office that was like done like a commemorative coin. And it was really nice. $50. I paid $50 for a paperweight. I thought, he's got to use this. He had all these papers on the dining room table with all these funny little things holding the papers down. The paperweight was still in its box. I can't begin to tell you how annoying it is to give someone a gift that they never use. I would have rather he'd given it to the Salvation Army than left it on the dining room table doing nothing. And yet many times I think that's what we're doing with the gifts God has given us, and particularly the gift of tongues. I think we leave it sitting on the dining room table of our lives, so to speak, and if I was God, I'd get a bit upset about it. So maybe that's why he's inspired this message. But anyway, the message is meant to be an encouragement. I'm not giving you a doctrinal treatise on speaking in tongues. There's a lot of it in there, a lot of doctrinal stuff in there, but that's not the purpose tonight. The purpose tonight is to encourage you, if you have the gift of tongues, to use it. And if you don't have the gift of tongues, maybe consider receiving it, because it's available to everyone. And it's a gift that God, I believe, wants us to have and wants us to use. Back in the 60s, a young woman who was about 21 bought a one-way ticket. She lived in England and she bought a one-way ticket that was going to take her around half of the world. And she wanted to serve God. She tried to work through the mission board in England. And as usual, there was a whole lot of red tape. You can say amen to that. There was a whole lot of red tape. And in the end, she just thought, right, I'm just going to buy a one-way ticket, get on a boat and see where God tells me to get off. She thought that was the most sensible thing in the world to do. You can imagine what her mother thought. But she thought that was the most sensible thing in the world to do, and so that's what she did. Her name was Jackie Pullinger. Has anyone ever heard of Jackie Pullinger? Okay, very well-known missionary. But she did that, and she stayed on the boat till she felt that God told her to get off, and he told her to get off in Hong Kong. So that's how far she got. From England, boat went all the way around. It was a slow boat to China, literally. And she got off in Hong Kong. And so she became a missionary there. She just, you know, felt that she was going to do whatever God told her to do. But in her words, after a couple of years, she said, I was rushing around the walled city, which that existed back then. It's been demolished now. I was rushing around the walled city, going to a different Christian meeting every other night, helping anybody I could help as much as I can, except that no one seemed to be helped. And she said, and I just felt cheated. And that's how she felt after 2 years of being there. And then one day she heard that an American couple had moved to Hong Kong to start a prayer meeting. And she was a little bit put out by that, because she thought, well, who do they think they are? As if we haven't got enough prayer meetings in Hong Kong, and what would they know anyway? But she went along to this prayer meeting, And the Americans were a bit more forthright than the Brits were. Fancy that. And I just want to read you just the first little interaction and then tell you a bit more about what happened with her. I'll need my glasses for that. I was looking at it thinking, what's gone wrong? But she went to the meeting and the woman, she met them, Rick and Jean Willens. And Jean said to her, first thing, do you pray in tongues, Jackie? She said, I was shocked by Jean's American forthrightness. And she wouldn't be the first one, would she? Let's face it. No English person would be that direct. Amen to that. So this is how she replied. She said, well, no, actually, I haven't found it that useful. I don't get anything out of it, so I've stopped. She had been baptized in the Spirit a year before. She said, but Jean was not to be sympathetic. Jean said, that's very rude of you. It's not a gift of emotion, it's a gift of the Spirit. You shouldn't despise the gifts God has given you. The Bible says he who prays in tongues will be built up spiritually. So never mind what you feel, do it. She made me promise to pray daily in my heavenly language, and they both insisted that the Holy Spirit was given in power to the early church to make them effective witnesses to the risen Christ. So this is what Jackie did in response to that. She agreed to pray in the Spirit every day. She said, "Every day, as I had promised the Willans, I prayed in the language of the Spirit, 15 minutes by the clock. I still felt it to be an exercise. Before praying in the Spirit, I said, 'Lord, I don't know how to pray or whom to pray for. Will you pray through me, and will you lead me to the people who want you?' And I would begin my 15-minute stint." That's how she felt about it. This is what happened. After about 6 weeks, I noticed something remarkable. Those I talked to about Christ believed. I could not understand it at first and wondered how my Chinese had so suddenly improved, or if I had stumbled on a splendid new evangelistic technique. But I was saying the same things as before. It was some time before I realized what had changed. I was talking about Jesus to people who wanted to hear. I had let God have a hand in my prayers, and it was bringing a direct result. Instead of my deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking his blessing, I was asking him to do his will through me as I prayed in the language he had given me. And that totally changed her ministry. And if you've ever read the book, it's called Chasing the Dragon. Amazing story of things that went on. I'll talk a bit more about it later on, actually. But it all came about, the change all came about from her when someone encouraged her. It's a gift. It's also a tool. And I'm going to look at some of the benefits. Last time I ministered, I talked about the benefits of reading the Word regularly. Tonight, I want to talk about the benefits of praying in tongues. Another illustration I want to give you is that I was reading recently about a church in Melbourne. And a minister had come through, and just in the process of his ministry, he'd shared how there'd been a family in his church that was suffering financially. And so they got everybody in the church to go over to their house, which in that church was 400 people. So I don't know quite how they fit 400 people into a house, but they did. And the idea was they'd all go there and pray in tongues for an hour. Just an hour. Walk around the house and pray in tongues for an hour. And they said, at the end of that hour, the difference was amazing. The atmosphere in the home, the sense of the spiritual atmosphere over the home was amazing. And they left, and the family in the weeks to come had amazing breakthroughs. And this itinerant minister just shared that. And one of the people on the staff in this church in Melbourne, it's a C3 church in Melbourne, just felt latched on to that idea, you know, and they had a family in their church that was suffering, like with illness and financial pressure as well. And they got everybody they could to go to that person's house, that family's house, and they got 40, you know, because we're in Australia. So they got 40 to go, and which is still pretty good, I think. And they said they just walked through the house for an hour, they walked through the garden, they just prayed in tongues. And they also had pen and paper if God showed them anything while they were praying in tongues. At the end of the hour, they shared what they'd heard, and they all went home. It didn't go on forever, just an hour. And the family had an amazing breakthrough. And so now they make it a practice down there that, you know, if someone... And, you know, we've had it here, haven't we? We've had it like with the Smiths. They went through a season where it was just one thing after another. And they, you know, that goes on in churches. And so now they make it a practice when that's happening. Like we had Sue and Dave Wanson recently, that sort of thing can happen, that they send out an email to all the connect groups. I think it's a church of about 200 people, all the connect groups and the prophetic groups and the groups that they have, you know, and they say, well, this is where we're going to meet, this is what we're going to do. And anyone who can come, comes, and that's what they do. They pray in tongues for an hour and they get breakthrough. You know, it's an amazingly powerful weapon because you are praying the perfect will of God. And, you know, just go and do it. You don't have to think about what should I pray for or how can I do this. If you're praying in the Spirit, you are doing the work of the ministry. Phil Pringle says this about prayer, and I think, you know, you'll find this interesting. I find it interesting. The first thing he says is prayer is work. That's a revelation to a lot of people, isn't it? It's not a stroll in the park. is not a ride in the back seat of a cruisy car. You know, like prayer is work. I guess that's why prayer meetings are the worst attended meetings in any given church. Prayer is work. Real prayer cannot be carried out in a half-hearted, distracted way. Real prayer is exacting. Now, listen to this. Most believers can't pray for long because their stamina, strength, and fitness of their spirit cannot sustain any length of time in the work of prayer. See, in prayer, we need to be built up. We need to get our spiritual muscles built up. You're either fit in the spirit or you're not. Same physically. You know, if we want to get more physically fit, you do more of that sort of resistance training. You watch your diet and all that sort of thing. Well, it's the same in the spirit. You know, most Christians, if you want to pray in the spirit and you say to everybody, let's lift our hands and pray in the spirit, you get this, you know, and if you say, come on, let's keep going, everybody's like, nah, that's enough. Had enough. Well, why is that? Because we're not spiritually fit. We haven't got that stamina. But you can build that stamina. You know, you can build that stamina so that you could pray in tongues for an hour and it seems like 5 minutes. But the first time you do it, it'll seem like 5 hours. You know, it's like working out physically. So he says that. He talks a lot about that in his writings, actually, about becoming spiritually fit. And he says this, just because a thing may be the will of God does not necessarily mean it will happen. We pray his will into being. Even Jesus recognized this when he instructed us to pray, thy will be done. So it's up to us to pray his will into being. Yes, God has this perfect will and often he does want something good for someone, but he's needing believers to pray it through. And if you imagine that your prayer life is like an oil drill, you know, those drills that go down for oil, the oil is down there, but they have to drill for it. It doesn't just come up by itself. And, you know, the things of the Spirit are in there. They're in your spirit. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord or the light bulb of the Lord. It's in there, but we have to drill down and bring it out. And one of the ways you can drill down is praying in tongues. It's a fabulous gift. You know, Dave Robeson calls it a priceless gift. And it is. It's just an amazing, amazing tool that God has given us. So I just want to take a couple of minutes now to talk about some of the benefits that the Bible tells us of praying in tongues. And the first one is found in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And that literally means that word edifies. You could literally translate that he edifies himself, builds himself up, or charges himself or herself, you know, charges himself like a battery. So it has the idea of getting charged up like a battery. So when you pray in the spirit, you are lifting your spirit for a start. You just get revved. You know, you could be feeling down like, you know, it's very easy to feel like Jacob. You know, Jacob at one stage said, oh, there's this and there's this and there's this. All these things are against me. You know, that's what he said at one stage. And, you know, the devil loves to get you to that place. So you think, oh, that's wrong. And I don't know when that's going to happen. All these things are against me. You know, that's a good time to pray in tongues because you need to be edified. You need to be built up. You need to have your battery, your spiritual battery, recharged. And what does that do? It gets you ready for things that God wants to bring across your path. Now, we had some words tonight about being a spark and who are you going to ignite. Probably no one if you've got a dead battery because, A, you miss the opportunity, you don't recognize it, and when you do recognize it, you don't know what to do about it because you've got a dead battery. You know, but as you pray in the Spirit, you are more aware, you are more alert to the leading of the Spirit. You are more alert to what God is doing. Like with Jackie Pullinger, she became more aware. I'm going to talk more about that towards the end, more aware of opportunities of people who are ready and of what to say and what to do in that situation. I read a testimony recently about Kenneth Hagin, how he just felt one morning, one Saturday morning, he was praying in the Spirit, and even while he was going about his bits and pieces, you know, he was praying in the Spirit. And he thought he was just praying for the next morning's service. But that afternoon, one of the people in the church brought a woman to his door who was insane. And he had to minister to this insane woman. He had to tap into the Spirit, find out what was going on, and cast a demon out of that woman. He worked, you know, he had to wait on God to find out what was going on, discovered, yes, this is a spiritual thing, cast the demon out. The woman was totally restored to normal thinking. You know, but he realized then he'd been recharging his battery ready for that situation. Jude says a similar thing. Let's have a look at that. In Jude 20, it's just a one chapter book. So Jude 20, I might as well just read it from there. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So we build ourselves up praying in the Spirit. It's an amazingly powerful tool. In this book with Jackie Pullinger, you know, she started dealing with drug addicts. And, you know, like in the walled city of Hong Kong back in the 60s, opium and heroin was just like everywhere. And they're just smoking it and selling it. Drug users and pushers and everything going on there. But they were getting born again. But then they'd have to come off the heroin and, you know, the doctors would warn her how painful that could be. Like a heroin addict, a hardened heroin addict coming off heroin, you know, they'd go through extreme pain, they'd be doubled up, they'd roll on the floor, they would attack the people that were trying to help them, they'd be vomiting, diarrhea, all sorts of stuff. They'd go on for days and days and days coming off heroin. And she and another missionary just decided, well, we're going to try Jesus. And so they'd just get them away from, you know, their other contacts and their families, and they'd just get in a room and they'd pray in tongues. That's all they'd do. And they'd have one person with them, a helper, who would pray in tongues the whole time, sometimes 3 days and three nights. They'd just stay there and pray in tongues with them. And every time the pains came to the heroin addict as they're coming off it, or the desire to vomit or anything, the addict would pray in tongues and the pains would go away. And eventually they, at the end of 3 days, they'd be totally off heroin. They could eat normally, everything. And all they ever did, I'm telling you, and then they started up these houses of Stephen where they'd bring addicts in and they'd have a group of volunteers who were the prayers. So they'd have a prayer who was not on drugs, you know, and then the drug addict themselves would pray in tongues. And the drug addict knew as soon as the pains come, pray in tongues. And they came off drugs without any other help. I mean, that is powerful. So that's the first benefit. It edifies you. It builds you up. It recharges your spiritual battery, helps you to be an effective witness, helps you to be more tuned in to the opportunities God has for you. So second one is praying in tongues is going to help you pray out God's plan for your life, and it will also help you get revelation for problems that you're facing or situations where there's a gridlock and you need a solution. So let's have a look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verses 9 and 10. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And a lot of people stop there and say, yeah, that's it, you just can't know. But the next verse says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So that verse there is saying, no, look, you know, there are all sorts of things God has planned for us. There's all sorts of things he wants to do for us, and he will reveal it to you by his Spirit, not by your mind. not necessarily through another person, but it's in your spirit. Look, friends, I want to tell you, the answers you're looking for tonight are within you. They're not necessarily in the next book you're going to read. They're not necessarily in the next sermon you're going to hear. They're not necessarily in the bank manager's hands or the doctor's hands or the counselor's hands. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong and that if a Christian goes to those people, they've done the wrong thing. But many times we miss this fabulous gift God has given us. We miss out because we are not using it, because the answer is within you. It's within that well, that reservoir of His Spirit within you, and you draw out that answer by praying in tongues. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians at one stage, he said, I'm concerned for you because you're getting away from the simplicity that is in Christ. There is a simplicity that is in Christ. It, you know, we've got the Word of God. We've got the ability to pray in the Spirit, but often we'll run here, we'll run there, we'll run all over the place looking for answers, looking, asking everybody, what do you think I should do? You know, if you're at a gridlock in your life and you've got sort of crossroads happening and you're not sure which way to take, pray in tongues for a while. Like, try and build up your stamina of praying in tongues. Try and draw up those answers. If you don't get it the first day, do it again the second day and make time for it. And, of course, the devil will tell you it's a waste of time. You know, you spend time praying in tongues and when you're finished, you'll say, well, you could have cooked dinner by now. You know, what are you going to do? Or you could have got that essay done by now, or you could have folded all the washing and got it put away by now, and what have you done? You've just wasted time. That didn't do any good. You know, of course he's going to tell you that, and of course it's going to feel like that sometimes. But you are sowing into the Spirit, and you will bring those answers up. You will, if you've got a problem going on, if you don't know how to fix something, you know, I'll pray in tongues. If I don't know how to fix something around the house, now I just tell Rick. But in days gone by, I couldn't. And then he prays in tongues. Sometimes I'll say, honey, blah, 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 blah. And you go, oh, babe, I've got no skills for that. I say, that's all right. I'll just leave it with you. And he prays in tongues. But I used to, you know, if there was something I needed to fix around the house, I didn't know what to do, I'd pray in tongues. If you're looking in the phone book and you don't know which electrician to pick, pray in tongues. God will tell you. God will tell you. If you're not sure about what to choose or how to go about something, or does God want me to do it now or next year, pray in tongues. He'll give you the answer. I mean, it's fine to go and ask a friend or talk to someone about it, but the answer's within you. It's not in someone else's filing cabinet. And so, you know, the plan for your life, and there's a plan for your life, like the future. If you know things are coming up in the future, a career change or a relationship situation or something like that, start praying in the Spirit ahead of time, because you begin to pray in the perfect will of God for that change, for that situation. If you're coming to the end of a season in your life and you don't know what's next, pray in tongues now. It's hard to do that because you kind of think, oh, I don't want to waste the time. Is it a waste of time? You have to get past that and know it's not a waste of time. Spending time praying in tongues is not a waste of time. You know, and you can do it while you're doing other things, but if you know there's something coming up, you need to take set aside time and just do that. And that takes faith to do that. Because we live in a fast society and we live in a society that, you know, wants to always be doing and wants to always be busy. And that makes us feel good and important. But to set aside time and think, well, I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour, that takes faith. It takes faith, but it's faith that is rewarded, you know. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Because, you know, He appreciates the faith that you use to take that time to seek Him. And, you know, you will begin to pray into your future. You know, if you're standing on the beach and you look out, or you see the surfers and they're looking out, they don't look out at the next wave that's coming so much. They're looking, I mean, they have to, otherwise they'll get splodged. But they're also looking beyond that to where the wave is actually, where the movement is actually starting to bring the next wave along. And when you're praying in tongues, you're praying way out in the spirit there for what's coming. But that will begin to well up and become a wave in your life that eventually you're going to be riding. But you can pray the perfect will of God for your future. And it makes a huge difference when we do that. It makes a huge difference. So that's the second benefit. We can pray out the plan of God for our lives, the perfect plan of God. We can get revelation for situations. And the third one is that we can pray supernaturally for unknown situations. So let's have a look at Romans 8. And this is tremendously helpful, you know, because the news is so depressing. And we see so many awful things going on. And sometimes you do see a situation, you think, oh, wow, I wish I could make a difference there or something like that. Look, if you see a situation, you know, that really saddens you or touches your heart, well, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues for 5 minutes. You know, if it breaks your heart that that little Down syndrome boy got left behind, I think I even saw tears in Tony Abbott's eyes when he was talking about it. You know, if it breaks your heart, pray in tongues for the little guy for 10 minutes. Because that is just empowering God to do so much for that little man. You have no idea. And you can just finish after 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever you feel led to do, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and just go on your way and know that you've made a difference. That's how effective it is. That just that ability to pray in tongues for situations that you don't know all the details, you don't know exactly what to pray, pray in tongues. So Romans 8 says this, Romans 8, starting at 26, says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So what weaknesses do we have? Obviously lots of them. But in prayer particularly, we don't know what to pray for. That's a weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I could probably give you, you know, 50 little examples of this, but I'm just going to pick one out that I read recently that I thought was a nice one. It's a missionary one. Missionaries, especially missionaries, what I call true blue missionaries, you know, they're being out there. They're being out in the depths, and they're being out with the natives, and, you know, we met a missionary recently, and he went back to Ethiopia, and he was using a pulpit, and the friends around him said, oh, do you know what this stump of a tree is, this pulpit we've given you? And he said, no. And they said, oh, that's the one they tied you to and tried to shoot you back in the 60s. they tied him to a tree and were going to shoot him, and their guns wouldn't work. So, you know, there's always great missionary stories out there, but this is a good one. There was a missionary at the turn of the last century, and he was in Africa, and he was ministering in a tribe where most of them had got saved, but another tribe, which was a little bit hostile, had stolen one of their little girls and gone off with her. And this missionary knew if he didn't get that little girl back by nightfall, they'd never get her back. So he went off to the other tribe with an interpreter, a native interpreter, because it was a different dialect. And he knew he could trade beads and trinkets for the little girl. And so he went on his way and came to the chief of the next village, this hostile tribe, and he traded the beads and trinkets and got the little girl back. But nightfall had come, and he knew he couldn't go back through the jungle during the night because it was too dense. You just couldn't do that. So he was escorted. He and his interpreter were escorted to another little hut, which was kind of visitors' quarters. Little thatched hut, and they were there, and they were just put in there till the next morning, and they just nothing else to do, so they lay down, went to sleep. And around about 10:30, they woke up suddenly and heard drums banging. And the missionary said to his interpreter, what do you think those drums are? And the interpreter listened and listened to what was going on, and he said, oh, they've decided to kill us. They've decided to kill us. They're going to come. They've got bowling knives, and they're going to slit our throats with one hit. And he said, yeah, they've passed judgment on us. And so what had happened was the chief had thought, well, I've got the trinkets, I've got the beads, and so I can keep them and I can keep the girl, and we'll just kill these two guys and we can keep the girl, and why let them all go in the morning? So they could hear the natives coming to their hut, and the missionary said to this other guy, let's just pray, and then I'm going to go out and confront them. And so they did that, and they went out. They said, we'll go out and confront them, and we'll just, this is it, you know, we're going to meet Jesus. And so they went out and stood in front of the hut, and after about a minute, they realized they hadn't had their throats cut. And they looked up, and they saw the natives all around them bowing down in worship. And he said to his interpreter, find out what's going on. And the interpreter asked the natives, you know, and they said, oh, we're worshiping him as a god, because when he stepped outside the hut, there were 2 9-foot men standing on either side of him in shining armor with swords. And so they saw him as a god. And so on the basis of that, the next morning he was allowed to take the little girl and he was allowed to go back to the village. So that was great. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, he was just going around the mission stations and visiting people in the mission stations. And he went to one station where there was a woman. And she said, did you face some kind of trouble last Monday night? Were you in a lot of trouble about midnight last Monday night? And he said, oh, well, why would you ask that? And she said, well, I was woken up suddenly at 10:30. And she said, that was unusual because I was very, very tired and I'd fallen asleep as soon as I'd gone to bed. She said, I was woken up suddenly at 10:30 and I knew I had to pray. And so she said, I just sank to my knees and prayed in tongues until I got the release. And she said, around about midnight, I started singing and rejoicing because I knew I had the victory in whatever I was praying for. But she said, your face kept flashing in front of me while I was praying. And so that's all she did. She didn't know what to pray for. She just knew she needed to pray for this man for some reason. And he said, well, at midnight when you started singing in tongues is when those two angels appeared on either side of me. But up to that time, she had been praying that situation through. Now, there's so many missionary stories like that. But honestly, friends, God can do that for you with your children, with your spouses, with other members of your family, with situations. You know, the Spirit can encourage you. A person will flash across your mind. And, you know, normally you think, unless you're Sue Ellen, of course, normally you think, I wonder why I'm thinking of them right now. I haven't seen them for a while. I wonder what they're up to. You know, usually it's the Spirit of God trying to get you to pray for them. And because we don't know what's going on, or because we tend to think it's a waste of time, or we're always so busy, we tend to let those opportunities go. I mean, thank God for that missionary, that missionary woman didn't let that go, that she prayed it through. Otherwise, he probably would have had a quick trip to heaven. But that's the power of praying in tongues. You can pray for situations you know nothing about and achieve tremendous results. And, you know, you don't have to be saved forever or fantastically perfect, just a believer, Scripture says. And I just want to finish with going back to Jackie Pullinger. She said one day she met an American sailor, and she was talking about praying in tongues, and he said to her he felt that tongues was really just for, I've got it here, it was meant to be used sparingly for spiritual highs and only on special occasions. And he thought she was a little bit overhatched with it. So she said, all right, she said, will you come with me for one day while we walk through the colony of Hong Kong? And he said, yeah, sure. And she said, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. She said, because when she walked around Hong Kong ministering, she just prays in the Spirit all the time, you know, unless she's eating or actually talking to someone. And throughout that day, and the book goes into the details of it, she went to all these different situations where, you know, she would know that someone was behind that door that she could minister to, or she would know to go down this street because there was someone sitting in the gutter that she could minister to, or she knew there was someone in that little house down there. She didn't know that in her head. She knew it because she was being led by the Spirit. And this American sailor was amazed because he wasn't seeing what she was seeing. He wasn't aware. And he was amazed at how many people she got born again that day. And because she knew who was ready. She knew who to go to. And she knew how to minister to them. At the end of that day, he applied to come back and work in the mission work that they were doing there when he was released from the Navy, because he realized that the importance of praying in tongues, and he realized how effective it had made the ministry. So, friends, I just want to leave that with you tonight. One little quote from Dave Robison to finish off, and it's this. Praying in tongues, he says, is a priceless gift that God has given us so we can feel rested and refreshed right in the middle of a very imperfect world. And make a difference, might I add. You can make a difference. So I want to just leave that with you tonight to encourage you. If you have the gift of tongues, and you're just using it for special occasions, just try and make every day a special occasion. Just start to just draw on it again. Because the enemy loves to have us just put it to one side. Or just like Jackie Pullinger did. She said, I didn't think it was very useful. I didn't get much out of it, so I stopped. Friends, I just encourage you. Just begin to use the gift more and more. Use it for your kids. Use it for your family, your spouses. Use it for work situations. And you know, like it was 6 weeks before she saw the effect of it. But then the momentum was in place. The momentum was there. And, you know, she never looked back, really. And the ministry just went from strength to strength. And so I just encourage you in that. And if you're here tonight and you say, well, look, I don't have that gift. I'm not a tongue talker and I'd like to be. Well, then just come forward when we're starting to close off. Just come forward and Pastor Chuck and Marianne or myself, we can pray with you. You can receive the gift of tongues and be blessed. If you just want someone to lay hands on you and get a refreshing, we can do that. Or you can ask anyone here to do that for you and just get that motor going again. You know, if you got a dead battery, all you got to do is spend time praying in the Spirit and you'll get it recharged. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your priceless gift, as Dave Robison calls it, Lord, your priceless gift. And Father, I just agree with him on that. I believe it is priceless, so valuable to us. Father, open the eyes of our understanding to see and to know how we can be using that gift, what a difference it can make. Lord, help us to be more sensitive to the opportunities we have as we pray in the Spirit. Help us to get revelation that you want us to have, to pray out our futures, Lord, according to your will and purpose. And we just thank you for it now in Jesus' name.